Good morning. We wish to welcome each and every one to the house of the Lord. And we do so in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that our preparation has been sufficient, that our Lord and Redeemer can meet us here today. I very much appreciated the prayer service this morning. And when Brother Jim was reading his opening scripture, I just marveled at how the Lord works. He hesitated for just a moment, and he said he was going to read from section. And there was a pause. And I caught myself. I almost blurted out 59. Then, just right then, he said 59. I don't think that's a coincidence, because Jim read from that some things that have been on my heart, and in particular this morning. I want to read to you from paragraph 5 of that section. And in nothing doth man offend God, or against none is his wrath kindled, save those who confess not his hand in all things, and obey not his commandments. Behold, this is according to the law and the prophets. Wherefore, trouble me no more concerning this matter, but learn that he who doeth the works of righteousness shall receive his reward, even peace in this world, and eternal life in the world to come. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and the Spirit beareth record. Amen. I made a mistake in the bulletin. Brother Denny will bring the oblation remarks this morning. I do want to remind you, some of you were here at the prayer service, but Brother Michael Barker, the son of Carl and Denise Barker, had a heart attack just about 9 o'clock this morning. He's in St. Mary's Hospital. So if you would pray for Denise and Carl and Michael and the family, it would be greatly appreciated. Again, we welcome you, and we trust that the power of the Holy Spirit will be with us. And we ask an interest in your prayers for Brother Steve, who is to bring the charge this morning. May we continue with the singing of hymn 383, please. Thank you.
Our gracious Father above, once more we meet in this hallowed house to be refreshed and to be strengthened and encouraged in our warfare. We assemble as people who are different in respect to age and youth, in respect to health and welfare, and in respect to stations in life. Yet we are one. In the oneness that we share with our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as we celebrate this sacred occasion, to remember that which we have covenanted to keep and to do according to his commandments. We ask, Father, that that Spirit may bless us each to the degree that we stand in need of, that we may be taught and learn the things that we are to do to inherit that eternal life gift which has been granted so freely to each of us and as a congregation. So we seek thy blessing upon us each one, upon thy servant who shall break the bread of life over this altar. Do thou empower him with that degree of authority and boldness to speak those sacred words which would indeed bless us and encourage us in the pathway that we have engaged in during this time of probation. Watch over us now, and may you accept this service to the honor of our Lord, that he may be held up in each of our lives as we think about the things that we need to be doing from day to day. So do thou be with us, we humbly ask thee, and we do all these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Chosen a couple of scriptures this morning for our offertory, beginning with the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury, and also saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And then from the 6th chapter of Luke, the 38th verse, give and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. When I think of an offertory about what we should give, I think of what Christ gave for us. He gave everything. He gave his life. And what we have to give is merely what he has given us. It's not even ours. We are merely the caretakers of the things that he has given to us. And he requires a portion of that to take care of the building of the kingdom, to take care of this, to take care of the poor and the needy. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we deem it an honor to offer up unto thee a portion of that which you have given. We thank you for this. We pray that these monies may be used for the building of your kingdom. I pray that you would be with each one that has charge of these monies, that they will be used for your benefit, for your glory. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
I'd like to start off by reading from the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. And we'll be first chapter 5. And I'll start with verse 49. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? Ye are therefore commanded to be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. And this thought about perfection really, really came to my mind as I was preparing for today. And, you know, the thought that came to me was to be perfect is the celestial law. if we live the celestial law, we're going to be perfect. And that's what we're being commanded, and that's what the church is about. This church, more than any other church, is about the celestial law. It's not about being saved, per se, but it's about living the celestial law and receiving the best that God has to give. And that's what he calls us to, his celestial glory. And with this church, and when this church was formed, that's what became available to us, that we could live according to the celestial law. And so, it also, another scripture that brings this to mind comes from section 83 of the Doctrine and Covenants. And it says, you shall live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And if we live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, we are living the celestial law, and we are made perfect. So that's what the intent is. Now, as when we consider why we come to church or why we, when we think about being saved, there's two ways of looking at it. One is we're being saved to God. The other is we're being saved from the devil. And if we're saved to God, then we will be saved from the devil. But there's an emphasis in our lives, whether we're wanting to be with God or whether we're just wanting to avoid the devil. And so I would challenge you all to consider, why are you here? Why do you serve the Lord? What is it you're looking for? To serve the God, or just avoid the judgments that come upon those who don't? And so we come here with the intent of being with God, of living in eternity with Him. I want to read just a few scriptures from the Bible about perfection that's in here. The first one's taken from the first chapter of Colossians, and it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, to whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. And then I'll read again from the fourth chapter of Colossians, and this is from one of his ministers. Paul speaking to one of his ministers and says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And once again, this idea of the perfection of those who will inherit celestial glory. Now I want to go to Luke, the sixth chapter, and we'll go to number 40th verse. A disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And so, once again, we have this call to perfection. And then I'll finish up on reading these scriptures about perfection, going to the book of John, the 17th chapter, starting with verse 20. And Jesus, in the 17th chapter, is offering a prayer. And so Here he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. In them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, that has loved them as thou hast loved me. And the thought here is that Christ, Jesus, and the Father are one, and we are one in Him. And in this oneness, we are all made perfect. And so, sometimes we think of perfection as being unattainable, something that we can't do. But certainly we are called to perfection, which as I stated, is the living of the celestial law. Now Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins. Now, I don't know who would want my sins, but Jesus is willing to take upon himself my sins and your sins, that we may be free from sin. I mean, we don't need to be from sin to commit more sin. We can commit sin anytime, whether we want to or not. And we seem to be good at that. But to serve God, we must be free from sin. And Jesus took upon himself our sins that we might be free, that we might be free to serve him. And and unless he did this, it would be impossible to serve him. And thus we can serve him and walk with him and be holy. Now we can't be made perfect on our own. The person who set out to be perfect can't do it. We need God's help. There was a dispute back in the early church between Augustine and another fella in England about being perfect. And one person, the man in England, said, if God commanded it, I ought to be able to do it. And Augustine replied, no, it's only by grace that we are saved. But what was not taken into account is the Holy Ghost. Now every man, when they are born, is given a part of the Spirit of God that they might know good from evil. And when we all have a sense of right and wrong, and this is through His Spirit, which is given to every one of us. But to become perfect, to enter the celestial glory, we must have the Holy Ghost. This Holy Ghost leads us into all truth. And then with this Holy Ghost, we are given the guidance and the direction, and we are empowered that we might overcome the sins in our lives, that we might be made clean and pure, and that we might have the strength to obtain the perfection that God requires of us. And so it is that as we walk with God and we become like Him, which is our objective in coming to church and in taking upon ourselves Jesus, and is to become like Him. And that's what we strive for. And it is only as we believe and are baptized and are given the gift of the Holy Ghost can we do these things. Now I want to read a scripture from the Book of Mormon. And And this is from the third book of Nephi. And we're chapter 9, verse 10. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus. And they prayed for that which they most desired. And they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given to them. And so this is what they found to be most desirable when Jesus came, that they receive the Holy Ghost. And it's this Holy Ghost that allows us to become like Jesus, to become one with Him and the Father. And so it is that we do these things. And for the person who's not baptized, you do not have the Holy Ghost, and you're left on your own. And invariably we're going to make mistakes and errors, and we're not going to be led according. Jesus said that if we're not baptized, that we are damned. Now, some people may think that this means that the devil's going to get us, but this is not necessarily what it means. We look in the Bible, and so much of the gospel comes, just starts out as a river, and it flows as a river. And if that river's dammed, then that river can't get where it's supposed to go. It's shut up. And likewise, the gospel is much like a river. And if it's damned, then it can't reach us. There is the telestial glory, and for many of those who, and I think that this probably is what damned means, is those who will be in telestial, and those who will be with the devil, but we need to be baptized. We need to receive the Holy Ghost in order to follow Jesus. And when I look at the river, that I think of the book of Genesis, and it says in the Garden of Eden there was a river, and it watered the garden, and it went to four heads, and that this river flowed out of. And I compare these four heads to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which gives us the same Gospel, the same river, but at the same time, it's four rivers, four streams. And so it is that this river of life that comes from God, that it flows, and it flows through His church, and it flows to each one of us. And it will go to all who believe and accept. But if we're damned, then it can't reach us, and we're shut out of the most precious gift of all, which is celestial glory. And so often in the scriptures, it seems like that when the scriptures talked about being saved, they're talking about being with Jesus. And he's talking about celestial glory. And that's what we refer to when we talk about it in our church. And so I want to encourage you, as you reach forth and partake today, that His Spirit might be with you, that we might become the sons and daughters that He's called us to be. I'd like to finish with this scripture from chapter 17 of John. And it will be verse Excuse me. Okay, seven. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. That's why I can't find it. Okay, chapter 17 of John, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. May God bless each and every one of us as we reach forth and partake. Thank you.
Thank you.
As Brother Justin offers the prayer over the bread, would you kneel with us, please?
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
And now, as Brother Mike offers the prayer over the wine again, would you kneel with us, please?
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Are there any members who have missed their portion?
Some of the last words recorded of our Savior are found in the 14th chapter of John. This took place after they had partaken of the bread and wine. And then the Lord shared some things with them. To take from an article I recently read by Elbert A., he brought this point forward, and he mentions that the prophet Joseph Smith, when he was in Carthage jail, awaiting things as we know would take place, said, "I wish I could preach one more sermon to the people in Nauvoo." And Brother Elbert asks in his article, if you could preach one more sermon, or you knew that this was your last sermon that you were going to preach, what it would be that you would preach about? What would it be that you would share with those who would come to hear you. And here our Lord, he knowing the future of things and what was going to take place, how he would be scourged and beaten and then eventually hung on that cross, these are the words that he shared in his last sermon. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so these are the words that he shared with his disciples in that last hour, brothers and sisters. And these are the words that I'd like to share with you here as we close this service.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we stand before Thee in the name of Thy Son to praise Thy holy name, to thank You, Father, for this holy place and this holy day, that we can be united even in that glory of Your Son as we remember Him this day. We are so thankful, Father, for that gift, that precious gift of Your Son and our Savior, and look forward to those promises. Father, I would ask for Your special favor for our brother Michael this day, that You might look down from heaven and embrace him in Your holy arms of love and give to him that good gift and blessing that he stands in need of. I pray Your blessing upon all Your children this day, Father, as we part from this place, that we might be each one in Your watch care, in Your guidance and direction, and in those decisions that we'll be making, that we might each one render that which is our reasonable service to our Lord. We praise Thy name, Father, for Your infinite gifts and blessings to us each one, and for the beauty of this day, and for the beauty of Your creation. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.